الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون. صدق الله العظيم. سئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أي الإيمان أفضل؟ فقال: الهجرة، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, as we are aware, we are drawing to the end of the first month of the Islamic calendar, the month of Muharram. Unlike the other ummats or the other ideologies or nations, their new year is the 31st of December, and we find that they celebrate this, or they acknowledge the coming of the new year, in such a manner that perhaps on that 31st December night, the masiyat and the sins that occur is probably equal to the sins that took place for the entire year preceding it. Unfortunately, ulama-i-kiram have written that when a nation, when a qawm becomes maghloob, when they are overpowered and when they are ruled over, then inevitably this affects their psyche, in the sense that they begin to blindly follow the ghalib nation, that nation which is ruling and overpowering over them. As an ummat, we are the ummat of the Quran. We are the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In any aspect of our lives, there is absolutely no basis or absolutely no manner or any way in which we can justify following any of the other nations. We have our Imam, we have our Rahbar, we have our guide, and that is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is indeed extremely unfortunate that this mindset has overtaken us, that many of us celebrate the new year, many of us will wait till the clock ticks midnight on the 31st of December, and many of us, Allah forgive us, even Islamic or Muslim nations will acknowledge the coming of the new year with the same type of celebrations that the people of Batil and the people of Masiyat will carry out. For a Muslim, for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, new year is not a cause of celebration. New year is a wake-up call. New year is a reminder. The hallmarks by which the movement or the ravages of time are acknowledged and realized are a source of ibrat for us. They are supposed to remind us of our mortality. They are supposed to cause us to introspect. What is my and your purpose in this world? Why are we living? Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world? Why has Allah sent us into this world? Primarily, if you look in Quran and Hadith, my goal, your goal, and every human being on the surface of this earth, there is one basic goal and objective of this life, and that is to find Allah. Allah's ta'alluq, Allah's love, the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to live in existence in this world, where Allah says in the Quran, وَرِضْوَانُ مِّنْ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, that Allah is happy with me. Allah is happy with me. If we have achieved this objective that Allah is happy with us, our hearts are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there will be no greater moment of joy and happiness than the day when we have to depart and leave from this world. Unfortunately, we have seen in this recent pandemic, many of us, this has become glaringly clear and obvious that we are living in a complete mindset and psychology of fear. People are afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of death. Afraid of any type of difficulty or hardship in this world. And we are running from it. Running from it in such a manner that defies logic. The other day one brother gave one simple example which translates for us this mindset. You ask an old man, somebody who is 60 or 70 years old, a dindar person, a person with a white beard, a person whose whole life he was obeying Sharia to the best of his ability. You ask him, "Chacha, uncle, the time for you to leave the world is near." Every one of us, doesn't matter, doesn't mean only an old person, death is a reality, even a young person. But a person that's elderly, he is more conscious of it. So you ask this elderly person that, "Bhai, what is your last tamanna, what is your last wish? The clock is already running out. The wrinkles are there. The signs and the athar of old age are there. The time has expired. The time for your mort is near. What is your last wish?" If the person had a dindar mentality, what would his answer be? "Allah must take me away in sajda. I must be in the masjid, in jamaat, my head on the ground before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah must take me away." And those fortunate ones amongst us that we hear about that type of a mort and death for the next 15 or 20 years, in that whole locality they will recount. You remember that certain uncle was in sajda, in salah, in the masjid, behind the imam, and Allah took his ruh away. This was a tamanna and a desire, this type of mort, this type of death. And yet what has happened to us as an ummah today, we have told our elderly people that it is dangerous for you to come to the masjid, stay at home. Such is the psychology of fear that has overtaken this ummah. What are we afraid of? Primarily, what is behind it? Unfortunately, as an ummah today, we have become like a rudderless ship that is being tossed around in the storm. We have lost our sense of direction. We have lost our sense of purpose. And as I mentioned earlier, and I am reiterating, there is only one purpose and one objective of this life. Find Allah. Connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this heart to be beating with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many properties you have, how big your bank balance is, whether your job is secure, whether your financial future is secure. This relentless rat race of the dunya, by the qasam of my Allah, when the angel of death presents itself in front of us, all this will mean nothing. The only thing that will count is how much have we prepared to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. New Year is a reminder of that. Muharram is a reminder of that. That takes stock. 1 year has passed. This has been an ajeeb year. A year of a pandemic. A year where people ran hanter-skelter. A year when our masjids were emptied. A year when many of us, Allah forgive us, in our own country, how many people we met? Maulana, 6 months have passed. I haven't made Juma Salah. Last week one brother fetched me from the airport. We were in Jamaat. I asked him, "Brother, good friend of mine, 5-time Musalli, brother, how many people are coming for Juma Salah in your masjid?" What was his answer? He says that, "You know what, we don't go to the masjid for Juma. 4-5 of us get together at work, Juma is discharged." An ajeeb year has passed. We have made a mockery of our deen. The basic principles and tenets of deen have been crushed under the feet of the ummah. Muharram is a stark reminder of what? Another year, one more year closer to Qabr, one more year closer to that moment when the angel of death is going to present itself. Are the malaika going to make our istiqbal with bouquets of flowers? Oh Allah forgive us, Allah forgive us, is it going to be some other type of istiqbal? This is what we are supposed to be revisiting as an ummah. We look up at that calendar. What do we see? 1442. Many of us, if I had to ask the question by what is the Islamic year, many of us won't even know that. We know the English year. We don't know the Islamic year. We've lost our identity. 1442, what is the suffix? What is written after that? AH. What does that AH stand for? As an ummah, do we revisit that? The Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the time of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a mashwara took place. Islam had spread far and wide. The need was felt to establish an Islamic calendar. So this topic was put before Sahaba by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That what should our calendar start with? This is not a small thing. What was momentous? What was the focal point? What was the turning point? That as an ummah, every year we will revisit this. As an ummah, each time we look at that calendar and we count the dates, we will be reminded of it. What was the turning point? Sahaba gave opinions. Some said Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some said Fateh Badr. Some said Fateh Makkah. The birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the great occasion by which our calendar should start. Conquest of Badr, conquest of Fateh of Makkah. Other opinions were given, but majority of the opinions reverberated around these three things. Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala was silent. Umar looked at him. Ali, what should be the start of the calendar? What was his opinion? Al-Hijrah, Hijrat. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ This is Allah's sunnat. This is Allah's sunnat. The goal and object of your life is to find Allah, to connect with Allah, but that does not come cheaply. There is a price. Allah says, you want me, al-bir. What does al-bir mean in this context? The qurb of Allah, the closeness of Allah, the ta'alluq with Allah, the relationship with Allah, and not just qurb. What ulama say, kamale qurb. The true closeness of Allah, to become Allah's friend. To become Allah's friend. To have Allah in your corner. To become the person of Allah, the friend of Allah, the wali of Allah. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَ Allah says this is impossible. Until when? حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ Until you prove, until you pay the price, until you prove that you are worthy of that by sacrificing in the way of Allah that which is beloved to you. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says, when I heard this verse of the Quran, I started looking amongst everything that I had. What do I love the most? فَلَمْ أَجِدْ شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ مُرْجَانَ جَارِيَةً لِي رُمِيَّ He said, of all my possessions, the one thing I loved the most was a Roman slave girl. Her name was Murjana. Murjana means ruby or pearl, an indication of the beauty of this woman. He said, I love nothing in this world of my worldly possessions more than this woman. Her love had captured my heart. Allah said, you want me sacrifice that which is beloved to you. He says, the moment this verse of the Quran, I heard it, immediately I said to Murjana, Anti hurriyatun liwajhillah. I am freeing you for the sake of Allah. I am freeing you for the sake of Allah. Not only that, he got her married to his student Nafia. Such was the love that Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had for this woman. The child that was the result of that union between Murjana and Nafia. He would hold that child in his hand and he would breathe in the scent of the child because it would remind him of the lingering emotion and love that he had for the mother. One verse of the Quran and this was sacrifice. Hijrah. This question was put to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ayyul imani afdal. Ayyul imani afdal. What is the height of iman? What is the pinnacle of iman? What is the price that we have to pay to find Allah? My respected brothers, come out of this mindset that Jannat is cheap. As your little children are growing up, what do you give advice? Even for this paltry dunya, any father will advise his son, burn the midnight oil. Make effort, my son. When you make effort, then you'll become something. Then people will look up to you for dunya. Even a toilet. Ibrahim bin Adam rahimullah wants to enter a toilet. Someone is standing at the entrance. You have to pay a few pennies to use the facilities. He starts crying. So someone asks him, why did you cry? He said, this toilet is the home of jinnat, shayateen, filth. This is the home of filth. And here I can't enter for free. How am I going to enter Allah's jannat for free? Ala inna silata Allahi ghaliya. Ala inna silata Allahi al-jannah. The price of Allah is expensive. The prize of Allah is expensive. The beloved of Allah had to tie 2 stones to his stomach. The close family members of Rasulullah ﷺ, their heads had to be severed. Months upon months of hunger in the home of Rasulullah ﷺ. What is behind us? Understand which garden you come from. Understand your legacy. Understand that to find Allah, price has to be given. It's not cheap. Inna silatallahi ghaliya. Inna silatallahi al-jannah. The price of Allah is expensive. The price of Allah is jannah. Where did this calendar start? Where did this ummah come from? Turn the clock back. Time is limited. I'm not going to go into details. We know the incident. Not an ordinary Nabi. A Nabi of Allah who Quran praises in such a manner. Inna Ibrahima kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa walam yakun minal mushrikeen shakiran li an'amih ijtabahu wa hadahu ila siratin mustaqim. 6 to 10 specific distinctions and honors Allah showers upon this Nabi in just these few verses. No other Nabi is referred to as an ummat. One man Allah calls him an ummat. 60 years of dua. After 60 years of crying, Allah blesses him with a pious son. رَبِّ هَبْلِي مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ 60 years. And then what is the command? Hijrat. Hijrat. Not the elderly wife, Sarah. فَسَكَّتْ وَجْهَا وَقَالَتْ عَجُوزٌ عَقِيمٌ. Quran tells us she was elderly. Not Umme Madian, the other elderly wife. Hajar, the young wife. The princess of Egypt, 20 or 24 years of age. The newborn Ismail. Hijrat from Palestine to where? Destination unknown. The guide, Jibreel. 2 or 3 weeks suffer. Finally they reach Makkah. Not the Makkah of today, the Makkah of 4,000 years ago. Jabal Abi Qubais, Jabal Marwa, Jabal Safa, Jabal Umar, whatever name it had at that time. Black arid mountains in every direction. A little valley in between. Wadin ghayri dhi zara. Quran describes this place. Few words Allah uses. What an imagery. No food, no vegetation, no livelihood, a death sentence, no inhabitants. This young woman and this newborn child is, Allah commands hijrat, separate from them. Separate from them and go back to Palestine. No explanation given. Hajar holds on to his kurta, begging, crying, sobbing. What have I done? Forgive me. Have I wronged you? Have I hurt you? This carries on right till Quday, 2 or 3 kilometers outside Makkah. Then it dawns upon her, this is the Nabi of Allah. He will not commit an act of oppression. Allahu amaraka bihada. Allahu amaraka bihada. Ibrahim, has Allah commanded you with this? He nods in affirmation. A new Hajar is born. Idhan layyudayya'an Allah. Then Allah will never cause us to lose. We will never perish. Why? This is Allah's command. There can only be khair and barakat. 5 times every day this last year, this ummah was tested. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater than any sickness, any accident, any bullet, any hijacking, any virus. Khayya ala salah, khayya ala al-falah. Allah's muazzin, Allah's proclaimer, Allah's caller called out to you 5 times a day. Come to salah, come to success, come to the court of your Malik and your Creator. There is no better protection for you than in the masjid. Your iman will be protected, your livelihood will be protected, your deen will be protected, your akhirat will be protected. What was our response to that call? How many of us were afraid? How many of us were running away from the masjid? How many of us were in total confusion? Learn from the mother of the ummah. Death sentence. No food, no vegetation, no livelihood, no inhabitants, being abandoned by her husband with a newborn baby to look after. And when she hears this is Allah's command, my Allah wants this. إِذَنْ لَيُّذَيَّعَنَ اللَّهِ. Allah will never cause me to perish. Allah will never cause me to perish. That night, alone. And what was the dua of that Nabi? As he goes over the hill, family is no longer visible, he raises his hand. When flung into the fire, no dua. Here there is dua. What is the dua? Rabbana, inni askantu min dhurriyati, biwadin ghayri dhi zara'in inda baytika al-muharram. Rabbana liyuqimu salah. He says, oh my Allah. Language we can translate. The dard cannot be translated. The pain in his heart cannot be translated. That is found in this dua. Oh my Allah. It was your command, not my desire. I have left my entire progeny, my zurriyat, in this place without vegetation. What he should have asked for? Ya Allah, sustain them. Ya Allah, provide for them. Ya Allah, protect them. He doesn't say that. What does he say? Rabbana liyuqimu salah. Oh Allah, establish salah. Establish salah. A masjid is to be planted here. This was the foundation of masjid for the ummah. That was the result of the dua of this Nabi to understand the importance of masjid. That you can never abandon the masjid. To abandon the masjid is to abandon the deen. To abandon the masjid is to abandon your iman. To abandon the masjid is to abandon your akhirat. I am not saying it. Quran and hadith is saying it. Rabbana liyuqimu salah. Establish salah. And then he makes dua. Ya Allah, send the samarat and barakat of the entire world. One wonders that night. Even the sky of Makkah must have been confused to see this young woman alone with this baby. And then the next day, as the sun rose, even the sun may have shed one or two tears, wondering what is going on. This young woman with this defenseless child, and no one but the nature of the sun. As the curtain of the night dropped and the sun rose, the ground became boiling hot, tepid, boiling hot sun, land of the desert, sand of the desert, one wonders. Where did she place that baby down? Her hands must have become tired. How much longer is the mother going to hold her child? There was no tent. There was no one. No one she could hand the child to. Within a few days, whatever provisions there were finished. Now she's facing a death of lingering starvation and suffering. Which mother can see her child breathe its last in front of her? As an act of desperation, she places the child down. Now from Safa to Marwa, Marwa to Safa. There was no water there. There was no vegetation there. This was an act of desperation. Allah loved this so much that Allah commanded Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you also run between Safa and Marwa like your mother ran. This entire ummah is commanded, run between Safa and Marwa. Bring alive the sunnah of the mother of this ummah. Understand your legacy. Understand where you came from. Finally, on the seventh circuit, she reaches Marwa. There wasn't a command that do it seven times. That's all the energy she had. The petrol was finished. There was nothing left. One last gaze. A gaze of hasrat, a gaze of regret, a gaze of lingering love and emotion of a mother. One last gaze at her child. She turns to look towards Ismail alayhi salam in the distance. She sees an apparition, what appears to be a young man. Like a candle that's about to burn out. When it gets a new spurt, a rejuvenation, it lights up again. She starts running. As she reaches Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, at his feet, Zamzam is flowing. Zamzam in Ibrani language, the language they used at that time, means stop, stop. It doesn't mean water. It was flowing, gushing with such force that she said, stop, stop. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah have mercy on my mother. If she didn't say this, this water would have flowed throughout the entire earth. What was happening? Hijrat. What was behind this hijrat? The seed was being planted. They say you want to put up a small building, you put a small foundation. Ishaq alayhi salam, the other son of Ibrahim alayhi salam, from his progeny, 4,000 Anbiya alayhi salam. You put up a big building, you need a big foundation. Ismail alayhi salam, from his progeny, one Nabi, but Imamul Anbiya, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Seed was being planted of an ummah of hijrat. Through hijrat, an ummah of hijrat was coming to existence. An ummah that will migrate. A ummah. What does hijrat literally mean? Gar chorna, biwi bacha chorna, mahbubat, marghubat chorna, Allah ke liye. To give up your home, to give up your wife and children, to give up that which is beloved to you for the sake of Allah, for this deen to spread through the four corners of the world, hijrat was imperative. This ummah, the Nabi of Allah to make hijrat, and the ummah to make hijrat, for you and I to be reciters of kalima. What was the history? 10 years of relentless sacrifice in Makkah Mukarramah. 10 years of persecution. 10 years of hardship. 10 years of his companions being tortured with fire. Stones pelted on them. They're being spat at, mocked at. The beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ridiculed. In the 10th year of Nubuwat, within the space of 10 days, two great pillars of support are lost. Abu Talib passes away. Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha passes away. Then the incident of Taif, which my Nabi himself says was the hardest day in his life. After Taif, for him to enter into Makkah had become impossible. Everywhere was peril. Everywhere was the fear of being murdered. Zayd bin Haritha is sent as his emissary to the people of Makkah. He goes to Suhail bin Amr. Can Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam enter Makkah under your protection? He refuses. Safwan bin Umayyah refuses. Akhnas bin Shuraiq refuses. Finally, Mutim bin Adi relents. He says, okay. Goes into the Haram of Makkah with his sons. And he says, Muhammad, I have given him my protection. He can enter Makkah. Abu Jahl stands up. Is this protection based on the fact that you have become Muslim? Sabot, abandon the religion of your forefathers. Or is this protection because you are a leader? He says, it is because I'm a leader. Then only it is accepted. Such a terrible, difficult situation had arisen in Makkah, that very soon after the demise of Abu Talib, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would enter home, at home in the evening, ma asra ma wajadna faqdaka ya am. How quickly I have felt the sense of your loss, oh my uncle. Why? Because now you'd become an open target in Makkah. Such a torrid situation. It was the 11th year of Hijrah. 11th year of Nubuwat. 11th year of Nubuwat, late one night. Close to Jamaratul Uqba, the big shaitan. Six youngsters had gathered from Yathrib, which later came to be known as Madina Munawwara. According to Bayhaqi's Dalailun Nubuwa, they were Abu al-Haytham bin Tayhan, Ubadah bin Samit, Sa'ad bin Rabi, As'ad bin Zurara, Abdullah bin Rawaha, and Haritha bin Nu'man, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approaches them late at night, under the camouflage of darkness, with an environment of fear around, peril in every direction. I am the last Nabi of Allah. May yu'wini, may yansuruni, hatta uballigha risalata Rabbi. Who will shelter me? Who will become my helper so that I can make the bleak of this deen? Understand where we come from. They start whispering amongst themselves. Musa alayhi salam, when he was returning from Hajj, he passed by Yathrib. Already in the scriptures, the description of the place of migration of the last Nabi was there. So the companions of Musa alayhi salam, they see the signs. They say to Musa alayhi salam, this place looks like the place where the last Nabi will come. Give us permission. They broke up into three groups. Banu Qurayza, Banu Qaynuqa, and Banu Nadir. Three different areas outside Medina they settled according to the signs. And then the signs had become glaringly clearer with the passage of time. That very, very soon the last Nabi is going to come. So the Jews of Medina would taunt the Aus and the Khazraj, the residents of Medina. They would taunt them, soon the Nabi is coming. He will be from amongst us, the Jews. Once he comes, we will make jihad against you and we will vanquish you all, etc., etc. So these six youngsters, they start whispering to one another. Perhaps the Jews were speaking the truth, but maybe they made a mistake. They said the last Nabi will come from amongst the Jews. Maybe he's from amongst the Arabs. What do we lose if we listen to the message of this young man? So they say to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is your message? Allahu Akbar. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa idh qala Ibrahim rabbi ij'al hadha al-balada amina wajnubni wa baniya an na'budal al-asnam. Rabbi innahunna adlalna kathiran minan nas. Faman tabi'ani fa innahu minni wa man 'asani fa innaka ghafurur rahim. Two rukus are recited, last two rukus of Surah Ibrahim. By the time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reaches the verse, hadha balaghul lin-nas وَلِيُنذَرُوا بِهِ وَلِيَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا هُوَ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ وَلِيَذَّكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Every one of them, their hearts are melted. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Everyone accepts Iman. Give us the command. We'll make jihad on the people of Makkah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, go back. Go back to Yathrib. Come next year. The persecution continues, but the heart of the Nabi is light. The people of Yathrib are coming. The people of Yathrib are coming. The people of Yathrib are coming. Next year, 12 comes. 13th year, 72. 70 men, 2 women. Late one night, oath of allegiance is being taken at the hands of the people of Medina. This will open the road to Hijrah. This will open the road to Islam spreading to the four corners of the world. This will open the road to the silsila of masjid from Ka'batullah to Quba, Quba to Medina, Medina to the whole world. This was what Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu concurred. The turning point of Islam, our calendar will start with this night. What was that oath of allegiance? And this is what we as an ummah we have to revisit. As an ummah, we have to revisit that ala inna silatallahi ghaliya, ala inna silatallahi al-jannah, the price of Allah is expensive, the price of Allah is jannat. Jannat is not cheap. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You want Allah, sacrifice that which is beloved to you for the sake of Allah. There will only be khayr, there will only be barakat. Abbas bin Nadhla cautions them. يَا مَعْشَرَ الْخَزْرَجْ هَلْ تَدْرُونَ عَلَى مَا تُبَايِعُونَ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ تُبَايِعُونَهُ عَلَى حَرْبِ الْأَحْمَرِ وَالْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ النَّاسِ فَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَرَوْنَ أنكم إذا أنهكت أموالكم مصيبة وأشرافكم قتلى أسلمتموه فمن الآن فهو والله خزي الدنيا والآخرة وإن كنتم ترون أنكم وافون بما دعوتموه إليه على نهكة الأموال وقتل الأشراف فخذوه فهو والله خير الدنيا والآخرة. الله أكبر. What does he say to them? He says, O people of Medina, you are about to take an oath of allegiance on the hands of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I am cautioning you. Don't do this unless you understand the ramifications. What is going to happen? What is going to happen? He says, the moment you place your hand in the hand of this Nabi, harbil akhmar wal aswad minan nas, the entire world, Arab world, non-Arab world, everyone, you will be declaring war with them. The whole world will turn against you. You will become the enemies of the Arab world, the enemies of the non-Arab world. They will march upon Medina. It's not a likelihood, it's not a possibility, it is an absolute certainty. Your men will be slaughtered. Your women will become poor. The streets of Medina will flow with your blood. You will lose your livelihood. You will lose everything. This is not a possibility, it is an absolute certainty. The moment you accept this oath. Abul Haytham bin Tayhan says, Da'na anka ya Abbas. Abbas, stop what you are doing. Ya Rasulallah, what will Allah give us? What will Allah give us? My Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah will give you Jannat. Allah will give you Jannat. What was this bayat? Bara bin Ma'rur's riwayat. Tuti'uni fil manshati wal makrah. Watunfiquna alayya fil usri wal yusr. Watamna'uni. وتأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون في الله لومة لائم. This was the bayat. That in ease and adversity, you will obey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will protect the Nabi of Allah like you protect your own lives and your own wealth. You will spend in the way of Allah in ease and in adversity. You will enjoin good and forbid evil and strive in the way of Allah. And whatever adversity comes, you will fear nothing and no one but Allah. This was this bayat. They had only one reservation. Understand the veracity of this reservation. Abul Haytham bin Tayhan turns to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before they can take this bayat. He says, whatever Abbas has said will happen, happens. You are the beloved of Allah. You are on haq. And that qurbani will not go to waste. Once that qurbani is given, adharak Allah, Allah will establish your deen, hidayat will spread, Allah will bring you back to Makkah. Makkah also will enter into Iman and Islam. Ya Rasulullah, we have one question only. As the Ansar of Medina, we are asking you, when Islam spreads, will you leave us and go back to Makkah? Will you leave us and abandon us at that time and go back to Makkah? Few, just little sohbat they had there. This is the love they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fatabassama Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My Nabi smiled. Balid dam ad dam wal hadam al hadam. Uharib man harabtum. Wa usalim man salamtum. Lo salakan nas wadiya. Wa salakat il ansar wadiya. La salaktu wadiya al ansar. He said, Mera jina tumhare saath hai. Mera marna tumhare saath hai. My living is with you and my dying is with you. I am from you and you are from me. If the whole world goes in one direction and my Ansar go in one direction, I will go in the direction of the Ansar. When they hear this one by one, they take the oath of allegiance on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The door to Hijrat is open. The door to Hijrat is open. The calendar of Islam starts with this. And every year in Muharram, this ummah has to be reminded of its legacy. Which garden do you come from? Which orchard do you emanate from? This is an ummah of hijrat. If Sahaba did not fulfill the sunnat of hijrat, you and I would not be reciting kalima today. You and I would not be having the key to jannat in our hands today. They understood the importance of this amal of hijrat. Ayul imani afdal. What is the pinnacle and the height of iman? My Nabi said hijrat, so that each time you look at that calendar, 1442 AH, understand this is an ummat of da'wat and tabligh. This is an ummat of qurbani. This is an ummat of sacrifice. This is the ummat of khatamun nabiyyin. No other Nabi is coming after him. That responsibility of hijrat, of tabligh, of da'wat, of propagating this deen, of making the effort of iman, is a legacy that hasn't come from Nizamuddin or Raiwin. It is a legacy that has come directly from Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Muharram, Allah has given us a new year, another chance, another opportunity, a time of introspection, a time to set our direction in life. And finally, I've said this before many times, I'm saying it again in the current condition. People are making resolutions. We are not advocating resolutions, but at least make this resolution that, Ya Allah, from now till I die, 5 times salah with jamaat in the masjid. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhir.